Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, July 21st. We're going to begin with the Decatur Herald and review for some of the local articles there. The first one is written by Chris Lusvardi, who's an H&R staff writer. Decatur looking to build on Midwest inland port potential. The development of the Midwest Inland Port is leading to new opportunities for businesses in the Decatur area. The latest opportunity comes following the announcement Wednesday of a joint venture between transportation service company OmniTrax Incorporated and Top Flight Grain Cooperative. OmniTrax plans to begin managing the newly renamed Decatur Central Railroad LLC, a short line railway connecting the Top Flight facility in Cisco with plants at Archer Daniels Midland Company, Tate and Lyle, and other processing companies in and around Macon County. As it begins to operate the railway, OmniTrax hopes to drive more business to and further rehabilitate the line, said Kevin Shuba, CEO of OmniTrax, which is one of the largest privately held transportation service companies in North America and an affiliate of the Bro Group. The Decatur Central Railroad is a great opportunity for OmniTrax due to strong existing commodity flows, real estate-driven expansion prospects, and the potential to add new diversified business, Shuba said. Rail is the cheapest way to ship products. Top Flight is increasingly using rail to transport its products as it operates about 20 facilities in Macon, Piatt, Douglas, Logan, and Champaign counties, said Scott Doherty, CEO and General Manager of Top Flight Grain. Rail is an important part of what we do, Doherty said. We continue to handle more volume. Other area companies have already begun to realize the potential benefits from the area's rail service that is highlighted throughout the Midwest Inland Port. TCCI Manufacturing recently changed its shipping of products and supplies to take advantage of the opportunities created through a partnership between ADM and the Canadian National Railway, or CN, said Dennis Flaherty, TCCI Vice President and General Manager. He said the company needs the best connections possible between Decatur and other production and warehouse facilities around the world, including in China. Products had previously been routed through Joliet and trucked down there to Decatur, Flaherty said. TCCI is a manufacturer of heavy-duty compressors and clutches for the mobile air conditioning and refrigeration industries. With the change, Flaherty said the shipments now come into Decatur on rail, significantly lessening the distance needed to truck from the ADM intermodal rail ramp to the TCCI facility at 2120 North 22nd Street. Its shipping capacity has nearly doubled by being able to use larger containers, said Kara Demirjian Huss, TCCI Vice President and Global Marketing Director. We can easily truck them here, the 3 miles, Demirjian Huss said. We can get more here on one container. As a result of the changes, TCCI is anticipating saving $400,000 a year in transportation costs, Demirjian Huss said. The company now has the potential to reinvest the money it saves in other assets to benefit the business, such as people and technology, she said. We hope others see the impact the Midwest Inland Port has had, Demirjian Huss said. This partnership has had a true impact on us. The potential of the Midwest Inland Port was among the items discussed during a business development forum organized by the Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County, held at the Decatur Civic Center. Major customers using the railroad like having a lot of volume coming in at once, said Allison Fafich, ADM's third-party intermodal business manager. Since April, Fafich said two major customers have been added to the volume of products moving through Decatur by utilizing the intermodal rail capabilities. Companies with smaller amounts of products needing to be shipped can utilize the same services. It's just going to get bigger, Fafich said. CN is unique by being able to provide connections with all three coasts, said Chris Timmons, a senior solutions manager with the railroad company. Moving products through Decatur can be a way of addressing issues in the Chicago area, said Christine Reed, a senior vice president with Knight Engineers and Architects. We can be a reliever for congestion in northeastern Illinois, Reed said. They can come here. We have a tremendous potential for growth. Omnitrax is interested in attracting mixed-use, light industrial businesses to locate along the Decatur Central Railroad line, which runs along Illinois 48 before interchanging with CN just north of Decatur. Because of the congestion in Chicago, a lot of companies are looking for alternatives, Shuba said. We want to bring them to our railroad. Omnitrax works with 350 industrial customers, some of which Shuba is hoping will be interested in expanding in the Decatur area. The city of Decatur is working to improve its infrastructure to assist companies operating in the area, City Manager Tim Gleason said. Improvements such as an overpass along Brush College Road is one of the issues the city is addressing, Gleason said. At grade rail crossings are problematic for the community, Gleason said. With the Midwest Inland Port, we want to be in a position to provide the greatest opportunity and potential for the community. Decatur has an amazing potential for economic development, which is being highlighted by what's being done through the Midwest Inland Port, said Ryan McCready, EDC president. Decatur has a history of innovation, McCready said. We can be a leader when it comes to innovation. McCready said the innovations currently being made can benefit businesses of all sizes. Our next article, also on the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review today, the online version, is written by Tony Reed, who's an H&R staff writer. Mueller Union votes yes to four-year contract. Mueller Water Products Incorporated workers in Decatur voted to accept the company's latest pay offer Wednesday evening. The final vote tally, which was not revealed, said yes to a new four-year contract for 400 members of the United Steelworkers Local 7838. More experienced and higher paid workers will get 2% pay raises over each of the 4 years, and a new sweetener for all workers was a $500 signing bonus. The union local didn't get all it wanted, however. Previous demands had included enhanced retirement benefits and opposition to varying pay scales that pegged new hires at making $4 less an hour. Local 7838 President Steve Maroney said the company wouldn't budge on retirement enhancements and stayed with a proposal offered at the beginning of negotiations to give lower paid workers 4%, 3%, and 2.5% raises over the first 3 years and then 2% in the final year. Taking the contract deal as a whole, he said the union had checked around at the terms comparable industry workers were getting and concluded the Decatur local was doing about average. It's kind of what the market is paying, he said. It's pretty comparable. Maroney said the only way to push for more would have been meant going to the street and taking strike action, and the local leadership didn't feel that was sustainable, having consulted its membership and the United Steelworkers International Union. The union and Mueller management had met for some 15 bargaining sessions before Wednesday's vote, and the union had taken out billboard ads and staged a rally July 7th to draw attention to its cause. An extension on the previous contract ran out Wednesday. Mueller Water Products was founded in Decatur in 1857 and is now based in Atlanta. It operates factory and foundry operations in its birthplace and makes a vast variety of valves, fire hydrants, and water handling products. We turn into the local section of the Decatur Herald and Review and find an article written by Allison Petty, an H&R staff writer. Park Board OKs Carbon Study. Now that Decatur has one carbon capture and storage project under its belt and another upcoming, efforts are in the way to study the potential for commercial storage here. Representatives from the Illinois State Geological Survey and Archer Daniels Midland Company spoke to the Decatur Park District Board of Commissioners on Wednesday, seeking support for a grant application to the U.S. Department of Energy. The grant could allow for research to determine whether Decatur is feasible for large-scale carbon storage under an effort known as Carbon Safe. The projects that we have done have really led us to want to explore this development of a storage site locally because of the information we've developed about these projects that shows this is an exceptional site, said Scott McDonald, director of biofuels development at ADM. It is world class. The State Geological Survey would be the primary agency leading the grant application, McDonald said. The aim is to have a carbon capture and storage complex built and permitted for operation in 2025. Oops, that's a little ways off. The Park District's support is important because property incorporated into the project could belong to the Park District, such as land around the Decatur Airport. Park Board members generally indicated Wednesday that they would be supportive of further study. The grant application comes after the Illinois Basin Decatur Project reached a target of capturing and storing 1 million metric tons of carbon dioxide deep into a saline formation under the ADM complex. Wow! That project, led by the State Geological Survey, is in the post-injection monitoring phase. ADM is leading the work on a second project known as Industrial Carbon Capture and Storage that is intended to capture a total of 5.5 million metric tons over 5 years. By contrast, Carbon Safe would produce a commercial-scale facility that could store more than 50 million metric tons. Wow. McDonald and Steve Whitaker of the State Geological Survey said the Decatur area has good geology for this type of effort. We're pretty confident that this technology is something that can be safely done here, Whitaker said. We've done it. The grant application deadline is August 23rd. We turn now to a bit of crime and courts news written by Huey Freeman, an H&R staff writer. Mount Zion police arrest man for allegedly stealing firearm. And this is Dateline Decatur. Quinteris Dozier, 22, is being held in jail on $25,000 bond after he allegedly was caught on surveillance video as he stole a Glock 9mm pistol from a Mount Zion sporting goods store. About 4:30 p.m. July 14th, police were sent to the store on a report of a stolen firearm. Dozier was seen on video at 2:10 p.m. that day, quote, approaching a gun display and slowly opening the rear access panel, end quote, said a probable cause affidavit by Mount Zion officer Christina Clow. He removes a black pistol firearm with a white price tag of $599 from the case. He then shoves the gun inside the front waistband of his pants, end quote. He then shut the panel and left the store. Dozier is seen leaving the north side of the store in a dark-colored Chevrolet Impala a few minutes later, Clow wrote in her statement. A witness reported that he saw a male fitting Dozier's description enter the store and approach the display case looking at the missing firearm. That witness recalled that Dozier bought a different firearm from the store 1 week earlier. The federal firearm transaction record identified that buyer as Dozier. Another witness positively identified that Dozier was the same man as the one seen in the video. About 8:15 p.m. on Monday, three officers went to an address in the 1400 block of East Wellington Way to apprehend Dozier. About 15 minutes later, he was spotted in a blue Chevrolet Impala, sitting in the driver's seat with the engine running and the headlights on. The stolen firearm was located loaded in the passenger seat in plain view. The magazine carried six live rounds. Its serial number matched the number of the stolen gun. Dozier was booked into the Macon County Jail on charges of possession of a stolen firearm, retail theft, theft, and unlawful use of a weapon. He is due in court for his arraignment by next Tuesday. We turn over to the Decatur Tribune and pick up an item that perhaps you've heard about, but we're going to visit it again just in case you haven't. City Council holds gaming study session. The community was provided with an opportunity to express thoughts on video gaming in Decatur Monday night, that was July 18th, during an open study session held to gather public input on the subject. A mix of residents, gaming establishment, and bar owners and other business proprietors that host gaming machines addressed council during the study session. A total of eight members of the public spoke, with much of the public and council sentiment being to look for ways to limit the number of gaming parlors that focus primarily on gaming with limited food, drink, or other activities going forward. In the coming weeks, staff will prepare a list of options for council consideration related to the issue and present staff costs for processing licenses as the cost of licensing is considered. Council members approved a series of annexations for properties with current water service agreements and voted to allow alcohol consumption for the Decatur Celebration this year until 11 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Celebration officials had requested an extension until midnight, but decided to rescind that request until next year to allow time to consider the potential cost of also sharing in the added city expense for the added hour of operation. We turn back to the Herald and Review. This is an article out of Springfield, but we think it has some importance for all of us, and it's on the front page of the Decatur Herald and Review. Cook County Judge blocks redistricting initiative, and this is written by H&R Springfield Bureau Chief Dan Petrella. A proposed amendment to the Illinois Constitution that would change the way legislative districts are drawn has once again been blocked by a Cook County judge. Circuit Judge Diane Larson ruled Wednesday that the ballot measure from the group Independent Maps goes beyond the scope allowed for a voter-driven initiative. Such initiatives are limited to making, quote, structural and procedural, end quote, changes involving the General Assembly. Another Cook County judge made a similar ruling in 2014 on a previous attempt to change the once-a-decade redistricting process, which critics say puts too much power in the hands of the party that controls the legislature. The proposed amendment would take the power to draw legislative district boundaries away from legislators and put it in the hands of an independent commission. But Larson ruled it unconstitutional because it also would assign new duties to the state auditor general and the courts and take powers away from the Illinois Attorney General. Supporters of the amendment gathered more than 560,000 signatures to get the question on the November 8 ballot, but a group called the People's Map challenged its constitutionality. That group is represented by Chicago attorney Michael Casper, who has close ties to House Speaker Michael Madigan, a Democrat of Chicago, and other prominent Illinois Democrats. Casper did not respond to a request for comment. The People's Map has argued that the proposed amendment would limit the influence of minority voters, but that wasn't at issue in the court case. John Hooker, chairman of the People's Map, hailed the ruling in a statement to the Associated Press, quote, "This unconstitutional amendment would put a tremendous amount of authority in the hands of unelected middlemen unaccountable to the taxpayers," said Hooker, who's also chairman of the Chicago Housing Authority Board. "Any effort to weaken minority rights harms us all and should be seen as nothing more than a major setback in what has been accomplished for minority rights in Illinois," end quote. Meanwhile, Independent Map's chairman Dennis Fitzsimmons issued a statement vowing to take the legal battle to the state Supreme Court. Quote, "A great deal of care went into crafting an amendment that follows constitutional guidelines while also creating a system that is independent, fair, transparent, and protects the ability of minority communities to elect candidates of their choosing," said Fitzsimmons, the former CEO of the Tribune Company. Redistricting reform was specifically addressed by the framers of our Constitution as a critical area for citizen petition initiatives. "We believe that the Illinois Supreme Court will side with the Illinois voters and not deny citizens the opportunity to vote on this amendment." The Illinois Republican Party also pounced on the ruling, accusing Madigan of opposing the will of the voters. Instead of supporting the chance to vote for fair maps, Mike Madigan's allies sued to stop voters from having the opportunity to vote for reform. State GOP spokesman Stephen Yaffe said, "It's sad to see that Mike Madigan's Democratic Party would rather deny voters their voice than face fair, competitive elections." Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, who's made redistricting reform a key component of his turnaround agenda, said the ruling is definitely a setback for the people of Illinois. "If this decision remains in place, it will prove that we need to put political reform at the top of our legislative agenda, Rauner said in a prepared statement. "We need to fix our broken political system to ensure taxpayers win instead of the insiders." Steve Brown, a spokesman for Madigan and the Illinois Democratic Party, deferred comment to the parties involved in the case. The ruling comes a day after an Associated Press report raised questions about who is funding the People's Map and paying its legal fees. The group hasn't reported any donations or expenses since registering with the Illinois State Board of Elections last summer, the AP reported. Independent Maps, meanwhile, reported raising $1.3 million from April through June alone and ended the quarter with more than $1 million remaining in its campaign fund, according to its most recent filing with the Elections Board. Major contributors include Northbrook-based Allstate Insurance Company, which has given $500,000, and Rauner allies Ken Griffin, CEO of investment firm Citadel, and Sam Zell, the former Tribune Company owner, who've each given $100,000. The group's proposal also has the backing of good government groups and newspaper editorial boards across the state, and its board features some well-known Democrats, including Bill Daley, the former chief of staff to President Barack Obama, and former Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon, who's running for state senate in Southern Illinois. Our next article is about some recreation opportunities in the area, and it's written by Allison Petty, an H&R staff writer. Park District offers Princess Star Wars Day Camps. Attention, aspiring princesses and Jedi Knights. The Decatur Park District has plans for you. The Park District is offering 2 day-long camps from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. next week at the Pogue, I don't know how to say that, Pogue Arts and Recreation Center. Princess Camp for ages 4 to 10 is Monday, July 25th, and Star Wars Camp for ages 7 to 14 is Tuesday, July 26th. Both offerings are new, said Marie Jagger Taylor, Cultural Arts Manager. The Park District's summer drama program ended earlier than in the past years, so the thought was to offer something fun and different at the end of July. People have asked us if we would ever do an all-day camp, so we thought we would try these, she said. We're really looking forward to it. Princess Camp will include singing and dancing, reading, drama lessons, and a manicure. Who doesn't want to be a princess? Jagger Taylor said. At Star Wars Camp, activities will include learning lightsaber techniques, making a Star Wars t-shirt and milk jug, and milk jug stormtrooper helmet, and performing a skit. Participants are welcome to come dressed as their favorite princess or character. They should bring a sack lunch, and parents can drop kids off starting at 8:30 a.m. We're looking forward to the area thespians and princesses and dancers and Yodas to come out and join us and bring their imaginations. I think we'll have a great, fun camp, Jagger Taylor said. The cost is $35 or $30 for residents for the Princess Camp. The Star Wars Camp is $40 or $35 for residents. Registration for both camps ends Friday. That's tomorrow. So hurry to your phone and call 217-422-5911 to get registered for one of these or both of these camps. Boy, I wish I was young enough to participate. That sounds like a lot of fun to me. Let's see if we got a quick brief or two that we can get in here. The second Big Obstacle 3K will begin with registration at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. That's this Saturday, July 23rd, in Fairview Park, and continue with competitive and non-competitive heats before wrapping up with a team heat at 1 p.m. Registration is $45 for the Ultra Heat at 9 a.m., $40 for adults, and $10 for the kids' heat at 10:40 a.m. The event, involving 2 miles of military-style and inflatable structures, is co-sponsored by the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois and the Decatur Park District. Go to uwdecatur.org to register in advance. And we are out of time for this first half hour of news from the Decatur area. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back for the second half hour. Hope you can stick around with us. If not, y'all have a great day. The rest of you, hang on.